coming down to the 16th bowl. Catholic Boy is pulling away. He's so impressive today, the others didn't even have a prayer. Catholic Boy rolls in the run. Happy Travers.
Live from the backstretch at historic Saratoga Racecourse, this is Racing Across America with Seth Merrow. Racing Across America is brought to you by Pinnell's Restaurant, a Saratoga tradition since 1922. 284 Jefferson Street, Saratoga, just minutes from the track. The Leah Auto Group. To search their inventory, schedule a service appointment, or find a dealership near you, visit leahcars.com. Leah Cars for life. And Woodbine Racetrack. Pick, bet, and cheer on world-class horse racing north of the border.
Good morning and welcome to Racing Across America. On this Friday morning, I am Seth Merrow live from Saratoga on a beautiful morning. And I said it yesterday, now I'm scared. I said, beautiful morning. Should be a beautiful afternoon. Yesterday, it was a beautiful afternoon, really, except for about 10 minutes, where it came down in biblical proportions, and subsequently, they scratched the rest of the card after race number four, where it was actually tough to see the running of the racing as they came into the stretch. It was racing; it was raining so hard. But I think today we're safe, and it is a gorgeous morning, sunny, very comfortable. So if you're planning to come out, I think you're safe today. Today's show, a little bit later on, Orlando Noda will join us. He has T Loves a Fight, pretty new to the training game and very enthusiastic. Had the win with T Loves a Fight earlier in the meet. If you were watching the simulcast signal, he was very enthusiastic after the win, as you would be earlier in your career, getting a win up at Saratoga. So Orlando will join us a little bit later on. Dylan Davis, we'll talk some jockey info with Dylan, but also wanted to get a jockey in here today to talk a little bit about PDJF Awareness Day tomorrow at the track, where you'll be able to get some jockey autographs and whatnot, and get your chance to donate to a really good organization, the PDJF. And then Sunday night, an annual fun event up here, benefiting again the PDJF, the Sunday night over at Vapors, the karaoke, jockey karaoke, which this year, East Coast versus West Coast, with a simulcast, including the Del Mar jockeys. So that should be fun Sunday night. We'll talk a little bit about all of that with Dylan. And towards the end of the program, Dave Mattice from the Finger Lakes. You see him do the handicapping on their program pregame and before the races. Dave said he'd be in town this weekend, so I thought we'd pull him over, A, to maybe get some of his thoughts on some racing here this afternoon, but B, earlier this week, Wednesday, in fact, rescheduled from the canceled Saturday card, New York Derby and New York Oaks out at Finger Lakes, and some of those horses will certainly show up here. You would think the Derby runners show up here in the Albany a little bit later in the meet, so we'll talk about that with Dave. But top of the show, always enjoy talking to our friend Dan Collins from Bonaventure Stable. Had some runners so far at the meet. Also had some that scratched out that I was really looking forward to. But certainly there'll be other opportunities as the meet goes along. Dan, good morning.
Good morning.
And I'll ask you, was that the craziest weather yesterday?
I couldn't believe it. I mean, it hurt for us because we got scratched out of the race. And, you know, we've entered five horses. And we've had three scratched out because of the weather coming off the turf. So it hasn't been the best start for us, but we're still optimistic.
I told you before we went on the air, two of them I was looking forward to. Leave Them at the Gate, who had the nice win here last year. I thought the return to Saratoga may be beneficial. So I was looking forward to that one yesterday. And I'm going to pull up and I'm going to show just get a chance to see a nice Bonaventure runner. And again, you and I were talking before we went on the air. They didn't rewrite the race that Clado's Run was scratched out of, and so we'll have to look for Clado's Run a little bit down the road, perhaps. But I wanted to show the race from Belmont Park on June 16th. I told you, coming out of this, I was looking forward to this one coming up to Saratoga, because you ran into number 7, Team Win, will be the winner. But Clado's Run, and if am I pronouncing that right?
Clado's.
Clado's Run, the number 2 horse. Nice late run. And Team Win was a Pletcher, and this can't be the right race because it was on the turf. It's race number right. 6 on the June 16th. But you ran a good second to a Pletcher Rapoli drop down that just probably had a class edge on that field. Your second place finish was a really nice effort.
Yeah, she's a nice filly, and she had some minor issues as a 2-year-old, so we didn't get to run her last year. We were optimistic that she'd show herself up here. And we have the same optimism for this year. We're really looking forward to that opening day race. It didn't happen because of the rain. And now we're just having trouble getting her back in. So maybe in second half of the meet.
Yeah, we'll look, as I say, out of that one. I was looking forward, and I know there's some local folks that are part of that. Speaking of which, I know some local folks part of Bonaventure Stable and partnerships. We always like to bring folks on, and maybe people who are getting into the game up here in Saratoga and getting enthusiastic or looking to jump in. Partnership's a great way to do it. Talk a little bit about Bonaventure and your philosophy.
So we're a small stable. We maintain anywhere from the area of 8 to 10 or 11 horses. That way we can still know all of our owners on a first-name, personal basis. It's run by the family. I run the business. My wife's the financial officer. My daughters and their husbands are our kind of marketing folks. So as a matter of fact, this weekend is an exciting one for us. We have 100 of our closest friends coming into town starting today. And we'll host them this evening at the Racing City Brewery for a little social party, which the OTB folks are going
to
join us and help out. And then on Saturday morning, we split them into two groups. My daughter and my wife will take one group over here on the main track side, about 40 to 45 people, and I'll take 40 to 45 people over on the Oklahoma side. We spend about 90 minutes in the track, showing them the backside, giving them a real flavor for what it's like to be in the business. Our trainers will come out and talk to them. Some of the jockeys are planning to come and talk to them. And then the key of it is on Saturday afternoon, we host everyone in the paddock tent. So we have 100 folks in there. We provide them with a buffet lunch. They get to see the horses in the paddock and in the walking ring. And perhaps the highlight of it is you and Brian Nato are going to come over and do a handicapping session for them. So they're quite excited about it. But we think that's what partnerships are about. We're about making racing fun for the individual.
I like as you labeled us as the highlight. I like that. Last year, I think it was Sully and I last year. Last year, I think we gave out some good info. So the pressure is on tomorrow. Looking forward to it, though, because, again, it was fun to be there. We've done it a couple of years now, I guess.
That's
and the crowd's always kind of fun and into and enthusiastic. Come up beforehand and get some notes, and afterwards get some notes as well. So, again, as I say, the pressure's on to give out some good info. But you've kind of alluded to it already. You guys have had a great record so far, and you've come into the winner's circle even at the gate last year at Saratoga. So the Saratoga winner's circle, a couple of minutes, we'll watch a nice run earlier in the Bonaventure career with a nice Breeders' Cup run. We'll pull that up. But talk a little more about these partnerships. It's fun to have a horse. It's fun to go in the paddock. It's fun to win. But the social aspect, and we were at your social event, the nighttime social event, last year. Here is Summer of Fun running third in the Breeders' Cup. So, again, you're playing at the highest level of the game as well as in the claiming ranks on a day-to-day basis. So that makes it fun for the partners. But talk a little bit about the social aspect of it.
Well, the social aspect is really important. You know, most of our owners, if they were on their own, they couldn't afford a horse. But this way, when we split it up, we basically offer 5% and 10% shares so we can get a lot of people involved. They like coming out in the morning. They like getting together as a group and sharing their experiences. And, you know, for most of them, it doesn't matter if it's that Breeders' Cup race or if it's a $20,000 maiden claimer. They just want to be part of the game, and this allows people to be part of it, and their costs are pretty manageable.
Yeah, I was at the Andy Serling radio show last night, and Stanley Huff was one of the guests. And Andy asked him, he's been training now for a while, came back to the training game, and he said, do you still get that feeling? He said, yep, whether it's a stakes race or the last race of the day, if they're coming down the stretch and they have a shot, you're raring to go.
Yeah, and that's true. Our people, you know, many of them don't even understand the difference between a claiming race, an allowance race, or an overnight stake, for example. All they want to know is when their horse is running, can they see it in person, and can they come to the winner's circle? And the answer is yes.
And how much fun is that? I mean, you've been around the track for a while now, but it must be a lot of fun to get new partners in, get them up here to Saratoga, and have a day like you're scheduling where they come to the backstretch and really get to see the behind the scenes and the nuts and bolts of the game.
We just think that's very important. You know, the crowds can get a little unmanageable sometimes, but it's important for people to know that they're valued. Not one of them knows who is a 5% owner and who's a 20% owner. The only person that knows that is me. Other than that, everybody's treated the same, and they all experience racing the same way.
As I say, I know some local folks involved, and they're very happy with their experience with Bonaventure. You have a website. I visited last night, so if folks want to type in Bonaventure Stables in Google, they can pull up the website.
That's
but
good.
As the name indicates, you were a St. Bonaventure grad.
That's correct. That's correct. And we started with just a group of St. Bonaventure graduates, and we all got together and we bought one horse. She didn't do very well, but we had a ball, and it's grown from there. So most of our owners now are not affiliated with St. Bonaventure, which is a big change from, say, 10 years ago. But we're enjoying it, and I'll give you one funny story. We have a new owner. He's a dentist from Massachusetts. He's never been involved before, but he saw our ads here on the OTB channel last summer, and he said, you know, how do I get involved? And I told him, and he is so excited. He can't wait. This is a two-year-old who will run in a couple weeks up here. He calls me just about every day to ask, how's she doing? What's this? What's that? I mean, he's like a child in a candy store.
That's great. That's what it's all about. We've had you on before, but for folks who maybe weren't tuned in then, remind us, how did you become a fan of the game?
Well, I became a fan of the game because when I got out of college, my first job was here in Saratoga Springs at the Saratogian, and I was just a Cub reporter covering, you know, weddings and town board meetings. And one morning in the office, the sports editor called in sick. His name was Landon Manning, a longtime sports editor here in Saratoga. And the editor yelled around, anybody know anything about horse racing? And I said, I did, because I had been to the track. And he said, get to the track. You're covering the races. That did it.
Was it? And doesn't the story go that your first couple of picks were like...
It does. I picked the Daily Double. I think the numbers were 6 and 8. And I told everybody, don't play that. I picked the horses today. You know, I'm Lucky Louie in the paper. And wouldn't you know it, 6 and 8 came in and paid something like $286 for a $2 bet.
You're
and
in.
I told everybody not to play it.
That's great. Again, we watched the Breeders' Cup third place finish. That was 2012 Breeders' Cup Juvenile Filly Turf. Flotilla wins, but Summer of Fun runs third. Again, you know, you play the claiming game and move up to the ranks. But, boy, to have a horse, A, go to the Breeders' Cup and then run as well as she did, just reflect on that a few years back.
That really made a difference for us. That was our second time to the Breeders' Cup. The first time the year before was with a horse named Royal Bonnie. We didn't know what was going on. We were real amateurs that time. But the second time was a charm. We knew Summer of Fun had the capability of competing that race. Obviously, the odds makers didn't, and she was one jump from second because we just got boxed in, and Ramon Dominguez actually rode her, and he said afterwards that we could have finished second if he had just gotten clear a little faster. And that really made a difference for us because I think it's a key to point out to people. You don't have to go to the yearling sales and spend $1 million. You just have to have good bloodstock agents. Summer of Fun cost us $95,000. So we think that in that range of $75,000 to $150,000, there are quality stakes runners, and that's what we look for.
Yeah, they talk about some of these big sales. You get to, you know, the last day and Keeneland, you get to the last couple of books. Folks can get tired and horses can get overlooked, and you can wind up with a gem at a reasonable amount of money. Talk a little bit. You talked about the philosophy of the organization. Talk about the philosophy of getting horses and where you go. Sure. And how you pick up your horses.
I think there's a couple things to keep in mind. First, I spent a lot of time researching our trainers, and we had a couple facts that we wanted when we looked for a trainer. One, we wanted to make sure our trainers didn't have any issues with being banned off the track or being suspended for medication issues or anything like that. Second, we wanted to make sure that they were successful, but they weren't mega stables because we're a partnership, and everybody in our partnership wants to be treated like an
sure.
owner. So we made sure our trainers welcomed partnerships. So we used three, Jeremiah Englehart, Leah Germati, and George Weaver. And then we used Steve Venosa of SGV Bloodstock for looking at our horses. And what's important with Steve is he taught me something the first time we went to look for a horse. I had earmarked out of the book some horses I liked on pedigree. He said, put the book away. We're going to look at every single horse in his sale. And I asked him why. And he said, you have to know the difference between a Chevy and a Cadillac before you can buy anything. And what I realized from that meant we have to understand what that $500,000 horse looks like to find the value in the $50,000 horse. And that's worked well for us.
You know, I'm going to ask you a question because you brought up something in my mind. That's another side of the game that is handicapping in its own right, buying a horse at a sale because you don't know what you're getting exactly. You're reading off the page. You're looking in the stall. But I've said this, and I wonder if it's the same for you as you kind of got into that side of the game. I always tell people if you're getting into the game on the handicapping side, Don't throw away your racing form, your program at the end of the day. Use that to reverse engineer. If you're just learning the game, look at who the winners were and then go back and look at the PPs and see what you might have missed. Is it the same on the auction side of the game where let me go back now that the auction is over and maybe a year later when some of these horses have gone to the track and see what, you know, the high prices, what was standing out there, notes that may have made on the physical attributes? I mean, are you kind of going back and reverse engineering so the next sale you go to, you have that in your back pocket?
We do. I do some of that, and so does Steve Vinosa for us. We'll look at it, and he'll come back, and he'll say, now, here's the history. Remember, the average price for a horse at XYZ sale was $350,000. But let's take a look at who won the stakes races as two-year-olds last year. And we look at that, and we find our research says, you know, most stakes races are won by horses in about $135,000 to $165,000 price range. So we've used that as our benchmark now. We're looking for that horse that maybe it's sandwiched in between a $900,000 horse and a $1 million horse. And everybody took a deep breath, and then we struck, and we bought it for $110,000 or $120,000. And I'll give you one other example of what we do. We have a two-year-old filly that was overlooked in the Ocala spring sale. It's a filly by Hard Spun. That filly was right in between two large sales. The filly R&A'd for $175,000 at the previous sale. We bought her for $50,000. Now she's up here. She's doing very well. She's already had over 9 breezes on the track. And we're looking at it, and then we realized something that was happening up here. Hard Spuns were winning on the turf. So we've now breezed her twice on the turf. She's with Leah Dramati. We think she'll run around July 11th or August 11th here. We're going to look to put her on the turf.
Nice. And again, Bonaventure Stable, as I say, there's a website. People can check that out for more information. If you're bouncing around the track, people can stop you and learn if they want to jump in and maybe explore a partnership.
Yes, they can, anytime. Myself, my daughters, my son-in-laws, or my wife, we'll all be there.
And as I say, Bonaventure, type in Bonaventure Stables in Google. You'll pull up the website contact information there as well. People can check the roster and whatnot. Dan, appreciate the visit. Good luck on the meet.
Thank you. Great to see you again, Seth.
Dan Collins, Bonaventure Stable. We'll take a break. Coming up, Dylan Davis a little bit later on, Orlando Noda, Dave Matice also. All of that on this Friday edition of Racing Across America. Stay tuned.
You like free money? Well, Capital OTB gives its players plenty of opportunities to cash in. At Capital OTB, there are so many ways for horse players to receive bonus dollars by simply participating in promotions such as our bankrolls, bounty bets, online handicapping contests, and much, much more. Plus, with Capital OTB's player rewards program, you get actual cash back. So what are you waiting for? Log on today at CapitalOTB.com or CapitalOTBBet.com and claim your free money.
Welcome back to Racing Across America. As promised before the break, joined now by jockey Dylan Davis. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Very good. Thanks for stopping by.
Thanks for having me.
Appreciate it. We'll talk a little PDJF. That's why I wanted to jock in on Friday, because PDJF Awareness Day tomorrow and the karaoke event Sunday night across the street at Vapor. And also just wanted to talk some general jockey information. Always fun to do when we get a jockey sitting on the panel here. But I wanted to go back, particularly, man, winter in New York has been good to you, and you had another nice winter. I pulled up the stats. You were sitting third on the Aqueduct yes. winter meet, and it was a nice winter that led into a nice spring as well down in New York. Talk a little bit about winter in New York, as I said, which has been very kind. Wasn't your sixth win day? That was winter at Aqueduct, correct?
The previous year, yes.
Yeah, yeah. But that was a winter meet, correct?
It was great, yeah. Yeah. Both winters have been a very good both meets have been very well for me. Just recently, the 2 years back, I finished second, and right behind Franco. That's really when I broke through a little bit through that winter meet. Great meet, following with a five-winner day, then 2 weeks later, a six-winner day, tying the most wins in a single day on a card at Aqueduct, which was very, very great. Great accomplishment and exciting. And then following the next year, finished third.
Yeah, as I say, this past winter, a nice winter down there at Aqueduct. Going into also a nice spring at Belmont, I always like to pull up stakes wins. Going to go back and watch Pat on the Back. This is the commentator from May 27th. As I said, the spring meet down at Belmont. Pat on the Back is going to be the number seven here. Giant Expectations, really nice horse, was a 9-5 favorite. You get by him. Gutsy Nose performance. I'm curious, with this kind of finish, where it's a ding-dong finish, do you know if he won?
I knew I won, but I didn't want to celebrate because it was that close. I usually don't like to celebrate too much, just in case. Pat on the Back's one special horse of mine, New York bred horse, and most earned horse in my career. That day broke well. We're very fortunate that Expectations took a little stumble out of there. You know, I took advantage of it. Put him in the three wide trip, kind of put him where he wanted to be, and when I got down to the lane, I saw Expectations coming up to me on my hip. I got into Pat on the Back, and at the eighth pole, I really thought that he was going to go by me. He had great momentum to push through. I really thought he was going to come by. I saw something that a horse that I don't see too much do is where he was going 100% for me, but he did find a little extra that last couple jumps and really put his head down and knew where the wire was really and got it done for us.
You say you don't see that too often, but are there horses like that? Few and far between, but they just don't want to get beaten.
Just, of course, yeah, but there's very few, yeah. You know, that really have that gutsy kind of competitiveness.
And Pat on the Back again, that was back in May down at Belmont in the commentator. Also wanted to pull up a race. This is going back to last year because this one comes back the eighth race today. Colonel Tom, we're going back to last year. You were on board this one as well. Colonel Tom is the number one horse here. Does it by 2 3/4 lengths. And as they say, he's back in the eighth race this afternoon. Is there a little bit of a horse for a course kind of an angle with some of these horses? And given that he had the nice win here last year, does that add a little confidence in a race like today?
Of course. I believe so, too. He handled this course, Saratoga course, very well. I'm excited for him today. Really thought he was very close to breaking the track record there.
It was
within 4/5 of a second. Very nice. Great performance that day. Excited for him again also. He's kind of was taking it easy through the winter time, just really prepping for the turf. And it might be on the little softer side for him, but if he's ready to go, so I think we're ready to perform.
Again, he's got some nice experiences we just saw from last year over the track, so that's got to be a bonus. And speaking of, you know, you rode him last year. I'm curious, again, while we have a jockey in here, get nuts and bolts of the game. Do you keep notes on horses? Do you keep it in your mind just so that this horse acts this way? This horse, next time if I'm back on, I have to keep this in mind. Do you keep those kind of notes? You keep that kind of thing up in your
mind? Of course.
And
yeah, of course. Usually it's all in my mind, but I don't really write it down too much. But when I do my homework again for the day, I do watch the replays on them, and it will bring back some memories
sure.
of quirks or what I need to change or what I should have done a little bit different to get a little more out of them. And that's what helps when I can ride the horse back again. So I can get a little more.
Talk a little bit about that. What is the homework as you look and see, okay, here's the PPs, they're out now, here's who I'm riding. What do you go through? What is the prep for that race day?
Sure. Well, I'll take a little quick glance of everyone, see where the speed is first off. You know, I want to see who's going to be wanting to get early position. From then on, I want to look at my horse. Where is his best performances coming from? Where is his best surface? also where what position does he need to be in to run his best races. So I'll look at where he's been running, what kind of surface, where he's finishing 1, 2, or 3, kind of mimic that kind of performance inside, outside. Then I'll come with another plan if he's going to break a little better than that or he's going to break a little slower than that, what guys, you know, it just kind of plays out really. You could plan it off the break. But I'm doing a lot of replays and trying to see how to ride that horse, really.
But and that's something that folks may not realize, but when they think about it, I think you have to know that that's the fact. There is homework and there is prep work that goes into it. You can't just show up in the paddock and expect to,
of course.
Because you have to know it's because it's not just the strategy of your horse, as you say. You have to know what the other horse is going to do.
Also
too.
The riders. You got to handicap the riders. And you know, I've been riding with these guys for a handful of years now, and I know I have a good idea of what is going to happen out there. Really.
How about a 2-year-old race where you're getting on a first-time starter? Do you work a lot of those, and then does that translate to the afternoon? But if you haven't worked them, you just have to kind of get to the paddock and trust with the trainer,
exactly,
the info you're getting
exactly
there.
It does help to get on them at least one time. It's a little difficult because I've had horses that broke very well out of the gate in the mornings, and they will change in the afternoons. You know, they get a little more shocked when the gates open up and there's so many horses inside there. They forget what's going on, so you really have to play by ear. But getting on them in the morning definitely helps.
Do you see that first-time starter that maybe is, oh, this is all a new experience in the afternoon, and then the next time, you know, second time out, they're like, oh, okay, now I know
a little
what's
better,
going on.
Then you kind of that usually that second start is kind of what translates from what they've been doing in the mornings. The first time is kind of stressful or whatever. It just depends on how they handle it. But most of the time, the second start is where they're really going to be a little more comfortable.
That ties into, again, having a jockey here. I can ask you this because I watched the Fox the MSG show a lot in the afternoon. And Maggie will be in the paddock or Gary Stevens, and there'll be a horse in the paddock that maybe it seems a little laid back or maybe it's a little nervous. And they'll say, oh, the jockey will do this and this out in the warm-up. Talk a little bit about what the jockey can do in the warm-up. When you get on a horse in the paddock, and you kind of realize that maybe they're a little laid back or a little nervous, and then you're out there with the outrider for the post parade, the outrider lets you go. Are there strategies that in those situations you can kind of work a little bit in the warm-up, and what do you do?
It depends, really. If the horse is washing out, we tend, most of the time, most trainers will want to stay with the pony, just do a little bit of jogging, because they're really using a lot of energy, exerting a lot of energy in the post parade, and you want to really save that for the race.
Sure.
So, they're already pretty much, their muscles are really warmed up already because they're being very hot. So you just want to do a little jogging and mostly walking. Just tell them to relax a little bit, you know, because you don't really want to, you'll lose the race already, right, when you're in the post race. So you don't want to do too much. But some horses, they feeling good, not really wash out, want to get a good gallop, take away from the pony, get that little extra energy off, you know, that little, level them off a little bit. Then they can, some horses, they relax, they level off and which is good, but you know, most of the time you take away from the pony to break well. Some of them are better with the ponies, you know, a little difficult to handle, but it just really depends. Like, you're doing a communication with the trainers.
And so, what is the assignment of the outrider exactly, or is it different from horse to horse? Because again, they walk through the post parade and then most of the horses will break off, and some of them you will see after the warm-up the outrider comes up and they'll pony them to the gate too. Some walk up to the gate. Is it just a horse by horse situation?
Yeah, there's a lot of situations with that. Most of the time, the outrider is leading the post parade. So what they do, they lead the post parade onto the track, lead them to a certain point where, depending on if it's 5.5 or it's 1 3/8, you go straight off or you turn around. They lead the pack. There's another outrider waiting for you on the backside. So if some riders turn loose from their ponies, if they're having a difficult time trying to pull up, they'll be there to help you out so they don't go around, you know, and have.
Yeah, I've seen that where a horse seems to really get into the warm-up and the outrider will come up and help pull the horse
And then
up.
Sometimes if you see a rider with the outrider, then they didn't have enough ponies for to handle, so.
Okay. Also, wanted to talk a little bit about, again, we talked morning works. How often do you get out there? I assume you're out there every morning, and
every
how do you
morning,
decide where you're going and whose horses you're going to jump on and that kind of thing?
Well, I have my agent, Mike Migliori. He handles everything, schedules, workouts, you know, in light days also. But he handles everything, so he'll tell me what I have or how many workouts I have or who I have to see, follow up on horses from the previous day or horses that I'm trying to get. But my agent there, he guides me through the mornings pretty much.
for folks who don't know, what there's a couple of days there are turf workouts across the street, right?
Yes.
With Fridays and Sundays?
Yes.
So how many do you, on average, would you work up here in the morning?
In the morning, usually around 4, 5. One day I worked 8 with the turf workouts. And some, like this morning, I didn't work any because of the track was not too well. Yeah. So with that, I just really was talking to everyone, meeting up and following up. So.
And I have one other, as I say, just kind of a nuts and bolts question. Saratoga, part of the NYRA circuit, Aqueduct and Belmont. And if you go out of town, all tracks are kind of different circumferences and whatnot. Do you have to have a different plan? I kind of think the analogy is close to baseball, where there are different ballparks and different sized ballparks. And I think you play the same, probably. A player comes up and plays, but there are certain quirks maybe to a ballpark. Oh, well, you know, right field, I can pop it over the fence a little more easily. Yeah. Is that kind of the situation when you go from track to track?
Of course.
It's maybe you're playing the same way, but there's some quirks that you want to know about.
Of course. Hopefully you're riding later in the card, but most of the tracks I've already shipped into, so I have a general idea. But usually just watching the replays and seeing how the riders are riding. I have at least one guy that I can talk to at a track that can give me like a little idea. But just watching how the riders are riding the track, you can get a quick idea of how it's playing. And then the riding colony, you have to adjust your riding style most of the time to the riding colony that you're riding with. So the riders, some tracks, some riding colonies will ride most riders will ride very aggressive to get position. And sometimes they don't stop, really, you know. So you have to adjust. You have to be very aggressive and hold your ground and do that. And then, you know, in New York, they're very aggressive, and then some parts patient. So you have to adjust with the riders also, and not only the track.
Yeah, that's interesting. I hadn't thought about that, but you think like a horse, a track like Monmouth that is kind of speed favoring, you think that the jockeys probably do ride a little bit differently. Mm-hmm. So you have to be aware of that as well as the track. Is it fun to ride Saratoga because you're a Saratoga guy, so get some of your buddies come over rooting for you?
Of course, yeah. Of course, and also off the track, too. They want to get back together and get some memories going.
Speaking of memories, you're making some of your own. I pulled up some photos from your Twitter feed, if the guys can pull that up. I had some photos of you and your kids off the Twitter feed, so give a little shout-out to your kids. You have a brand-new baby in the family,
yes,
right?
Yeah, I have two kids now. One son that's turning 2 next month, August 12th. And then I have a new daughter. She's 5 months old. And we have a nice young family, a boy and a girl. And it's exciting.
They're cute. So congratulations there as well. How does Grandpa Robbie Davis enjoy the grandkids?
Oh, he loves them. He loves them. Especially that we're here every day. He comes over. He loves my boy. He's just very honored and everything, so it's just exciting.
And for folks who don't know, Robbie, the former jockey, your dad, now a trainer, but your two sisters ride too.
Yes, Jackie's at Penn National, but she's also shipping to Delaware and Laurel. She's staying very busy, and then Katie just come off a 15-day suspension, just won for her. She just won 2 races yesterday at Delaware, so she's doing well.
That's the way to come back. all right, let's talk a little bit again. Tomorrow, PDJF Awareness Day here at the racetrack. There'll be an autograph session out behind the Jocks Room, Jock Silk's Room. If folks want to get some autographs, a great spot to do it. And then over at Vapor on Sunday night, karaoke. But just talk about the jockeys. I know this is near and dear to the heart. You're wearing the hat,
yes.
PDJF, Permanently Disabled Jockeys Fund, near and dear to the jockeys.
Yes, this is a great organization set up for the permanently disabled jockeys. There's about 60 jockeys that are being funded by this organization. It's just great. We have multiple events that we have. This karaoke coming up where we do. They're constantly taking donations. Anything is acceptable. It's a 100% tax write off. Anything is appreciated. But we have the event, the karaoke event at Vapor this Sunday. It's a great thing. The jockeys make a fool of themselves on the stage. Everyone gets a good laugh. You can get a couple of drinks in, and everyone has a great time. It's just a lot of fun.
And again, it's a great organization, and you guys go out there and you're competitors every day through the race card. But there's a brotherhood, and so when there are some jockeys in need, this is a great organization that you all pitch into. And I know tracks around the country participate in this PDJF Awareness Day. Again, you can go get autographs and make a donation tomorrow afternoon. Vapor on Sunday night, I would highly tell people. It's funny. You said you're going to be singing.
Yeah, I'm singing. Yeah, I'm singing.
Much practice?
No, not too much. That's the point, though, really. You're just having a good time.
Oh, but some of the guys are pretty good.
Yeah, some take it serious.
Yeah,
you know?
Some of them are all right.
Yeah, they had Mike Luzzi was singing, I think it was a Kiss song last year, and he really blew the doors off that time. So we'll see. It's exciting to see what's going to happen next.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. Again, Sunday Night of Vapor, a great way to chip in to the cause, too, for PDJF. Dylan, we really appreciate the visit. Wish you a lot of good luck through the remainder of the meet and through the rest of the year as well. Good luck to everybody on the PDJF karaoke night also across the street at Vapors on Sunday night. We appreciate the visit.
Thanks, Seth. Thank you for having me. Thank you.
Dylan Davis. We'll take a break. When we come back, Orlando Noda will jump in. T loves the fight. The big win earlier in the meet. We'll talk all about that and more. Stay tuned.
Looking for a fantastic meal? Stop by Malcolm's, a unique farm-to-table restaurant experience. Located at 617 Union Street in Schenectady, Malcolm's offers locally grown fresh foods, mouth-watering flavors, an enhanced drink menu, and terrific service. Malcolm's is a sure bet during Saratoga season. Make your reservation today.
In a recent study of some of the top online wagering sites, Capital OTB won big in total player rewards, far surpassing some of the best-known wagering sites in America. While other rewards programs simply offer you points redeemable for gift cards, Capital OTB's rebates are paid to you in actual cash. Plus, Capital OTB gives you full and immediate access to your money. So if all you're getting now are points and gift cards, join Capital OTB Player Rewards today and get cash back. Visit CapitalOTBBet.com and sign up today.
Come on.
I want sales reports on my desk by Monday.
Whoops. My bad.
Love racing? RTN brings you every live simulcast on your home television, plus live video streaming and race replays on your PC and mobile devices. To order, visit RTN.tv. RTN, a breed apart.
Welcome back to Racing Across America on this Friday morning. Very excited to be joined now by Orlando Noda, trainer of T Loves the Fight. And I'm excited because he's excited. We were watching the winner's circle after T Loves the Fight the other day, and we'll talk about that in a moment. But clearly it was nice to have a win up at Saratoga.
Oh, that's a start. That's what it's all about, a win.
Before we get into T Loves the Fight, let's just talk a little bit about how you got into the game. Your dad was a trainer.
Yeah, my dad's been a trainer just for himself. He has had a couple horses here and there every so often, and so far he gave me the basis of beginning, and then went to Ocala and learned the baby aspect. I had my own, I bred my own, and I wanted to learn what the big outfits were doing in reference to breaking the babies, and worked for Croupies Newcastle, Harley and Dorenzo, and then ended up going to Mark Cassie and was there for over a year working with Cassie.
And what was that like? Weren't you up here with some of Cassie's horses?
Yeah, back in 2017, me and my wife, we ended up coming first time to Saratoga, and I was taking care of Flameaway, and he broke his maiden first time out, and he went a stake the second race, and that was a dream. To be taking care of a horse that won a stake in Saratoga.
Was that your first visit to Saratoga?
That was our first visit.
So talk a little bit about you've been up here now for a couple of years in various capacities. How you like Saratoga?
Oh, no, this is the elite. If you contend here, you can pretty much contend anywhere.
And clearly you can contend here. Let's take a look. Let's go back to the beginning of the meet, July 14th. T Loves a Fight, the number 5 horse in here, gets it done. Talk a little bit about you know, watching the race and enjoying it. And then we pulled up also, I think we have a little video of you in the winner's circle, as they say. Clearly enthusiastic and understandably so. Was this your first starter at Saratoga?
First start, first win.
Talk a little bit about it as the horse comes down the stretch and what your feelings were.
Oh, no, this was, I knew the horse can close, but he just kept on riding him all the way to the wire. We told him, rate him off the pace and let him close, and he'll have plenty of horse.
And as I say, we have a little video of you also in the winner's circle. Just talk about the emotion, that first starter at Saratoga, first win. It's exciting for me just to watch it, but we can see you are clearly enjoying it. Talk a little bit about the experience, and then what carried on through the rest of the day and into the night.
No, everything went good, and then the actual breeders congratulated me, and I was like, hey, come in the picture. This is a family horse. Everyone come in the picture. And I told everyone, look, hold up the three. It's three in a row for us, and T loves a fight. And everyone was really happy, and we got the job done. And I said it, we're going to step him up to the stakes. And
She was your first winner overall, too,
overall,
correct?
Yes.
And you're now 3-for-3. With her, and you mentioned the breeders coming in. The name has a little significance too. Named for the owner who was fighting a cancer battle. You've since claimed the horse, but they're looking to maybe get the horse back after the career because of its significance. Our friend Teresa Gennaro helps us out. Also, has kind of latched on to the horse as well. I know she was battling traffic to get to the winner's circle the other day too. But as you say, jump in. Everybody can jump on board the horse.
Yep. Yeah, it's a family horse, and they approached me like, oh, whenever you guys want to retire him, we can take care of him. That's fine with us. I was like, he'll show up. And
yesterday. Entered in the Morrissey, so you're going to make a quick turnaround to try the stakes race. Obviously, with the situation with the weather and the cancellation of the remainder of the card, have they rescheduled? Will they redraw? And are you going to go back in?
Yes, they rescheduled it for August 1st. We draw on Saturday. Nominations are open again, which I figured they would be closed, but they are open for any horse. But our intentions are to run him.
Okay, good. How many horses do you have overall?
Six personal horses, and after the Saratoga win, I got my first owner.
Oh, nice.
And he gave me two horses and wants to claim.
Will those race up here?
They're babies.
Okay.
Yes. So we're just going to take our time, build the foundation, and hopefully first time out, we take some photos.
Talk a little bit about your time with Mark Cassie and what you learned from Mark.
Yeah, no, the baby aspects and the caliber of horses that he has are phenomenal horses to begin with. And it's just you have to take your time with the babies, and you can get some classic horses when you take your time and pay attention, even between the assistants, the communication between the groom, the assistant, and coming all the way back to the trainer is what it all comes down to.
I told you when you sat down, I listened to your radio interview the other day with our friend Mike Penna, and I was surprised to learn this is not the normal path, but your path to training went through a couple of years as a shrimp fisherman.
Yes, I was a commercial fisherman for about 8 years and ended up buying my own fleet of boats, and we did really good. We ended up selling out to get back into the horses, be it that my baby was a two-year-old, and this was my main focus, was get back to the racetrack.
Where did you, was that like... Louisiana, that type?
Actually, we were based out of South Florida.
Okay.
And most of the season was down there, and it was commercial live baits and commercial live shrimp that were actually shipped up to the New York Chinese food market here.
As they say, you don't normally see, I started my career as a shrimp fisherman. Now I'm in the training game. But again, you had a horse that you bred. Talk a little bit about that. What was the impetus for doing that, and what's the breeding on your horse?
That was actually one of the horses that we started out with back in 2012 when we bought 8 of them. And that's one mare that I did keep. And I've had her for like 10 years now. And that was my first foal, was GT Sonia with her out of Brethren. He was a first-year sire that year. Out of AP Indy Mare, and he's out of Distorted Humor, and he just nicked good with her, and just a first year stallion. We took our chances with her, and we ended up coming out with a pretty good baby.
So GT Sonia is the horse, which
first race
runs today in the first race. And we're going to go back and take a look. I pulled up the replay from May 23rd. GT Sonia will run second to Queen Kahan. GT Sonia is the number one horse, Queen Kahan the number six horse, but again, a nice second place finish last time for GT Sonia. So you're okay, Noda Brothers the breeder, so breeder, yeah. Owner, trainer, yeah. I like that coming into this afternoon. Confidence level?
If she doesn't win by three, then I don't know what else to put her at, because I put her where she can win.
And that's part of the game, certainly. Claiming game as well. And so to be in the claiming game, it's going to be fun and interesting. And the experience of being a trainer and being with the babies, I assume, probably plays into the claiming game as well. Gives you an eye for the horses.
Right. Yeah, no, and people talk about the sales too. You really have to have an eye for the sale babies, because you got to see their potential of growth and not just their back class of their moms or their sires. So it's a learning process.
Yeah, when I get folks in here talking about the sales, you know, everybody thinks, hey, look at the page and look at the breeding, but they always say, you know what, I want to walk around the grounds and see the horses, and the ones that kind of stick their heads out the stall and have an awareness, that it just mentally it's important to look for horses that are maybe a little more alert, and with it that bodes well for racing as well.
Yeah, well, the attitude, you can't train the attitude, but yeah, no, you have the only thing I feel you can't train in a horse's heart.
And we were talking about that with Dylan, when he talked about pat on the back. He said the horse came up to him and he just wouldn't let the horse by. And he said, few and far between, but there are those horses that have that kind of heart where they just won't let another horse go by them.
Yeah.
Talk a little bit about, you know, as they say, your father was a trainer, so you always had this in the back of your mind, but then went into the shrimp fisherman industry for a while, now back on the training side of the game. What do you like about the training game? What's the most fun?
Oh, it's just every day being here at the barn. I don't mind being there at 4:30, and I work until 6, 7 o'clock at night doing my own thing, starting off. And it's just the independence of each horse, just trying to figure out each horse which way trains better, and just finding the tweaks.
That's interesting, because I always say as a handicapper, I enjoy the game because of the puzzle of handicapping. I get 9 or 10 races a day where there's a kind of a brain teaser, and I can try to figure it out. And if I figure it out right, I get paid. So it's a bonus. But you're saying the training game is a lot the same. You just try to figure out the horses and the training regimen. And I assume also try to figure out, are they going to be best sprinting? Are they going to be best on the grass? That's all part of the puzzle too.
Yeah, trial and error. You have to put them where you feel that you feel at initially, and then you take the opinions from the jockeys and go from there.
We mentioned GT Sonia. You have another horse in this afternoon, Riot Worthy, which is off the claim. So you're playing the claiming game up here at Saratoga. Wish you luck with that one as well. So a couple in this afternoon, and we'll look for T Loves to Fight. What, August
1st.
August 1st.
Next Thursday.
Back in the Morrissey. So looking forward to that one. But as they say, it was fun to watch you. Your enthusiasm, it was infectious with the win.
Yeah.
Congratulations. Again, I don't know, historically it's probably happened before, but probably not often. First starter and a win at Saratoga, that had to be fabulous.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah, when I was screaming, everyone, I'm sure, can hear me. Like, who's that?
And again, looking forward to T. Loves the Fight coming back, but wish you good luck this afternoon. As I say, good luck on the remainder of the meet and the career as well.
Yes, sir.
Orlando Noda, again, T. Loves the Fight. Nice win early in the meet. We'll look for that one to come back. But a couple this afternoon, GT Sonia in the first race, Riot Worthy in the fifth race as well. Good luck.
Thank you, sir.
Appreciate the visit. We'll take a break. When we come back, Dave Mattis from the Finger Lakes. Again, we'll take some time to go back to Wednesday and look at the New York Derby, New York Oaks with Dave. Maybe get some ideas for this afternoon as well. Stay tuned.
Where's the best place to find your favorite teams, your favorite food, daily drink specials, and wagering on live horse racing? Legends Field Sports Bar, 711 Central Avenue, Albany. Get your game on day or night with 75 flat-screen TVs, tournament-style pool tables, a private banquet room, and live horse racing. So if someone asks you, where's the best sports bar in the Capital Region, tell them, Legends Field Sports Bar, inside the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
Birdstone is an outside threat. They're coming down to the finish. Can Smarty Jones hold on? Here comes Birdstone. Birdstone surges past. Birdstone wins the Belmont Stakes.
But here comes High Chaparral. High Chaparral, the defending champ, to take it to Bob Bob. What if there was a way to become a better horse player? To have a better knowledge of the game? To be more successful? What if there were a way to take what you've learned, what you know, and make better decisions, better choices? In horse racing, knowledge is a powerful tool. Race results and replays, past performances and live streaming, wagering from all your digital devices. Capital OTB. Become a better horse player.
Welcome back to Racing Across America. As promised before the break, joined now by Dave Mattis. You see him the pregame. You see him prior to races, handicapping up at the Finger Lakes. We always like the Finger Lakes guys in. Got a Kalo over here. Whenever he's in town, I tell him to stop over. Last year he came a little later in the day, yeah. So at least I went over, sat in the paddock, and had some deviled eggs with him.
Yeah, he like loves to come here. Tony's always a good time, and we're lucky to have him as an announcer.
He's definitely a good time. As I say, we've had him here in the past, and some of our better memories. He's always fun over here, and looking forward to maybe getting him over here again this year.
I think he's coming in August. He told me he was going to take a vacation in August, so that's probably the time to get him.
I told him, alert me so we can get him over here. Okay. You're in town, you know, when I texted you yesterday, Lake George, time up there. How was it yesterday? I'm curious. We had that crazy storm, but it seemed like everywhere else – kind of missed it. Did you get that?
Yeah, we got a little bit of the clouds. It was just we had some peaks of sun, so we got to go in the lake, did a little kayak, and then it started to rain. But we didn't get the heavy stuff that you guys got. Of course, you had to do some races.
I mean, it was crazy
but
here.
As far as what we got, we still had a nice day in Lake George. So we're happy to be here. Always enjoy the vacation here and always love Saratoga.
And, a little bit of a postman's holiday, showing up at the racetrack. And
love a good time.
You see a lot of that at Saratoga where folks from other tracks, if they get some time off, stop here. How often have you come to Saratoga?
I come every year.
Okay.
I come every year. Ever since I was a kid, I was actually, my parents lived here when I was born.
Oh, really?
As they're building a house nearby, and so this is my roots around here.
Oh, okay.
So it's great that I got into horse racing.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. how did you become a fan?
I just love the sport. I was actually a phys ed major.
Oh, okay.
But was very good with statistics, analytical stuff, that I got into it as a fan and as the problem solving and playing the horses and making some money.
Yeah, there you
That's
go.
Why how I enjoyed it.
I will say our OTB Live visit to Finger Lakes earlier this year. That was my first visit out there.
Oh, was it?
Believe it or not.
Oh, it was great to have you there. Hope you come back.
Yeah, it was fun. We definitely will make another scheduled visit and swing by. We talked to you. We talked to Tony, some of the other folks, but enjoyed just the afternoon. And it was funny. We were walking around the facility and had some people say, hey, OTB TV. So it was fun that we were recognized out in the Rochester area.
Oh, yeah. Everybody talked about you coming. I got a text about, hey, Capital OTB, Seth Merrow's coming out there. Oh, great.
it was fun.
And you got a following. You guys do a good show, too, by the way.
I
appreciate
give you
credit that. For that.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And the road trips have been a lot of fun, and yours was fun. And I will reiterate to folks who, like me, maybe haven't been out there, easy trip. You hop on the thruway, and you get off the thruway, and bang, bingo, bango, you're right
there.
Well,
when the horses don't do well, they have the easy trip there for allowance competition, of course.
And some nice racing up there. Speaking of that, this past Wednesday, we here had the cancellation on Saturday because of the heat. So the Derby and the Oaks, which were originally scheduled for Saturday, were run this past Wednesday. Why don't we take a look at those? And I said earlier, we'll see some of these horses here. Certainly coming out of the New York Derby, the Albany seems like a logical spot for some of these. Mm-hmm. Going in, Blind Willie McTell was cross-entered in our sire stakes here on Wednesday, but that was on the turf. So no surprise that Linda Rice shipped that one out. Went off as the, third favorite? I was kind of surprised, Blind Willie McTell. Favorite in here was Not That Brady, the Rudy Rodriguez runner, coming out of a nice optional claiming second place finish with a pretty good number. But it'll be Steve Asmussen and Bankett, the number three horse, getting it done. Eric Cancel on board in a nice performance, chart margin, a length and a quarter. Second choice at 5-2, Bankett. And as they say, I'm not going to be shocked to see this one coming back up here for the Albany.
Oh, what a big effort. And, you know, the pace was quick. Of course, Not That Brady fast going against tougher competition, dueling with that better competition. But if you watch the race and if you watch the head-on, there was a lot of bumping going on. And you mentioned the Mike Lee Stakes winner. Probably got the worst of it. Kind of got bumped twice in there. I mean, not enough that they were going to do any kind of takedowns. But the horse ran extremely well. And I think he's still got to keep an eye on that one as maybe one of the better three-year-olds. But not taking anything from Bankett. I mean, the horse got through the traffic. It was a great ride and got the victory.
Yeah, Bankett had finished third in the Mike Lee behind Blind Willie McTell. But as you say, when you look at the chart, you don't see this often. The first four horses, it's exactly the same, essentially, virtually the same comment. Exchange bumps, exchange bumps, exchange bumps, exchange bumps.
There was a lot. There was a lot in the stretch. And, you know, if you watch it, I don't think it changed the order of the finish. But, you know, maybe the horse on the outside, the Mike Lee winner, might have been first or second in there if that didn't occur. Not taking anything away from the winner. And you could see the difference between the 7 furlongs going to the mile and the 16th, that it was Bankit, probably a little better at the distance than the other one. That's why he turned the tables.
And again, Blind Little McTell wound up fourth in there, but they were all fairly close, head-to-head, and, well, four back to the fourth place finish. But the first three were close up when the bumping happened, and then the chart margins, 1.25, 1.75.
We were lucky to have such a great race this year between with those four horses.
Yeah,
and,
no,
and they're
going
to go on
field
to some better things, all of those horses.
As I say, I'm not going to be shocked to see a majority of those back in the Albany up here a little bit later in the meet. New York Oaks was also on the card on Wednesday on the rescheduled card, and it winds up to be the local horse getting it done in here. Number two, Wait a Minute. Number five, Espresso Shot, runs second. That one, the 30-cent to a dollar favorite coming up from New York. But, as I say, the local horse gets it done. It gets it done pretty easily by a couple of lengths.
Yeah, she's an up-and-comer. She showed some talent as a two-year-old. She came out of the box with a victory and then finished second to Alinda Rice trainee, who was probably the best horse to come to Finger Lakes last year. But, you know, she was a little bit excited in her first start this year. They had to scratch her. And then she ran into a pretty tough win in Niagara. But it shows that she could go long. Jackie Stauffer, first stakes win for her, by the way.
Oh, was it really?
First stakes win. And she and this horse, you know, you'll probably see her at Saratoga for one of one of your route stakes races.
Yeah.
I mean, it turned out to be a smaller field, but she beat a pretty good one in Espresso Shot. And the two of them coming down the wire. The inside wasn't that great that day, but I don't think it affected the outcome there because Wait a Minute, when she got to her, Wait a Minute kind of responded and actually was pulling away from her a little bit at the end. So this is a horse to kind of watch. And she, when she gets the lead, you see how fast she went in the race before. So I could see her winning at Saratoga if she catches the right field in the right kind of pace scenario.
Oh, yeah, the race before, she won by 23 lengths.
23 lengths. So she could be a good one that Jackie Stauffer has. So, you know, we hope she does well in the future. And I could see her running in one of the stakes races here before the end of the meet.
Certainly, you would think New York bred stakes on the NYRA circuit will be in her future summer or fall. One to watch, Wait a Minute. Espresso Shot. Worth noting, Espresso Shot was given 6 pounds to the winner. And I'll ask you as a handicapper, when I first got into the game, I paid a lot more attention to the weights than I do now. If you look and there's, you know, a 10 or a 12-pound difference, you have to consider that. But I used to give that up. These days, I almost don't pay any attention to it at all, unless, as I say, there's some significant margin.
If they're very evenly matched and you're looking for different angles, you know, we have the apprentice weight. It means a lot more in some of our races compared to the better horses. Because when you're the best horse, you're going to overcome 3 or 4 pounds.
Yeah.
You're going to do that because you're the best horse. I mean, a horse like Cigar, they kept waiting him, and he's going to still win. You get a horse that's a $10,000 claimer and you have a 5-pound weight shift, yeah, you got to look at that, and that's why they had handicaps. But you're right. As you go get into the handicap and more, you start looking at the other variables and not as much with the weight unless it really is a significant difference. I agree with you.
Yeah, as I say, early in my career, early as a handicapper, as a kid, that would be different. And again, it was also different on the racetrack, the old, you know, four-go, and the disparity was a lot greater. They just don't like to do it in handicap races anymore, and handicap races are kind of becoming dinosaurs now as well.
We completely did away with them, actually, at Finger Lakes, because, you know, you get to these races where why punish a horse for being good, and you get some evenly matched races anyway. Yes, sometimes we have a starter allowance. Sometimes you want those races to go, and you want to have that more things in the weight and find the condition to make those races go. But with the handicaps, no, we just run stakes now.
Yeah, and as I say, that's the way the game's going. It's not just you guys out there. It's really all over the place. The big handicap stakes races have kind of changed to more allowance-type conditions for the most part. Dave, appreciate the visit. As I say, we had a great time when we were out there in April. Pretty close to the beginning of your meet. We made the stop out there.
I believe it was opening day.
Was it?
It was opening day you came out.
Oh, I do remember.
I remember because I think we had a disaster on my first show of the season. I think I...
Oh, that's the backdrop. That's right.
I had a backdrop fall. Now, that was... That's the only time that happened this year, thank God.
Yeah, that's right. The backdrop dropped. It was you and Tony.
Yeah, I had Tony as my guest that day, and I was on in the... I was talking. I go, there goes the background.
That's right. And also, it triggered a memory. We got about halfway up there and hit like a crazy snowstorm. And it had snowed a little bit up there before the races went off, too. But the rest of the day wound up there. Yeah, so I think you're right. It was opening day.
We've had some interesting opening days with the weather, that's for sure.
Yeah, it was, like I say, it was halfway. We're thinking, oh, are they going to cancel the race? Because we ran into like a blizzard. Then we kept going and ran right out of it. But
yeah, we're used to it there.
Yeah, it's upstate New York, right. Regardless of April or July, wacky things can happen with the weather. But I think it's going to be a great day here today. So you've swung by Saratoga on a perfect afternoon.
Oh, I'm looking forward to it. I'm excited for it. Hopefully I can win some money here. I don't want to spend all my money here then go back to Fingerless. Hey, do you want any money? Oh, you can't handicap Saratoga then, huh?
It is.
I got to do very well.
It is tough. There's no question about it. You heading back, tonight, tomorrow?
Going to go back tonight. And then because we got a race tomorrow, Finger Lakes.
Pre-game show tomorrow?
Preview show tomorrow. We got Finger Lakes Racing. Check us out. We just did those the Oaks and the New York Derby the other day. We did a cross country pick five with Saratoga,
right.
And that's the first time we've ever done that. We had
and
a good
I think
response.
They were good, very good numbers.
Yes, it was a good response to that, and hopefully we could do something like that maybe later in the year when we do our 2-year old stakes races.
Yeah, that's a great point. I'm glad you brought that up. There was the cross country, which I know a lot of people were looking at that included Finger Lakes, and there are those nice 2-year old races that come up.
Yeah, maybe we could do that with the New York racing
tie those
too.
In. That'd be a lot of fun. Dave, appreciate the visit.
No problem.
Luck this afternoon.
Oh, thank you. It was a lot of fun being on. Thanks for having me on.
Dave Mattis from the Finger Lakes. Again, I wanted to take a look at that New York Derby and New York Oaks because certainly Albany, you'll see some of those Derby horses and that wait a minute from the Oaks. If not here at this meet, certainly the fall down in New York because it's looked good in the last couple of races. All right, we will wrap things up on this edition of Racing Across America on a Friday afternoon, Friday morning, leading into a Friday afternoon. But again, a reminder, really a nice day up here. So if you're planning to come up to the track, you've scored. If you haven't made your plans yet, track should be on the game plan because it's going to be a great day here with some very nice racing, including the Curlin this afternoon. Nice race that certainly will produce some Travers runners. Good weekend ahead. Jim Dandy tomorrow. That'll be a great Saturday and Sunday weekend. With Sunday, I do want to remind you, I want to keep reminding folks, Sundays and Thursdays now, the low roller contest up here. Have a lot of fun. Put that on your program if you're headed up here Sunday afternoon for the races, the low roller contest. Keep it in mind. I'll remind you Sunday morning as well. All right, I'm going to wrap things up again tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. Handicappers Aboard, 10 o'clock. Brian Addo will be in with his program, so tune in for both of those. See you then.
You've been watching Racing Across America with Seth Merrow. Racing Across America has been brought to you by CapitalOTBBet.com, the premier online wagering site in New York State. CapitalOTBBet.com. Sign up today. Pennell's Restaurant, a Saratoga tradition since 1922. 284 Jefferson Street, Saratoga, just minutes from the track. The Leah Auto Group. To search their inventory, schedule a service appointment, or find a dealership near you, visit leahcars.com. Leah Cars for life. Woodbine Racetrack. Pick, bet, and cheer on world-class horse racing north of the border. And the new Capital OTB mobile app. Wager anytime, anywhere. Download it free from the iTunes Store or Google Play.